Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have as New Testament saints. Lord, that we can come before your throne. Lord, which you call a throne of grace. And you encourage us to come with confidence, to come boldly because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, recognize that in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, only the high priest could come into your presence, and only once a year. And that would have been after he had offered sacrifices for his own sin. But Lord, because of Christ and his sacrifice on our behalf, we have this privilege of coming straight into your presence. And Lord, we thank you, God, you allow us to worship you. Lord, you have made creatures that worship you day in and day out. But still, Lord, you make place, you make room for us to also join in that worship, to also sing songs of redemption. And Lord, you choose to respond to our worship by your tangible presence, by speaking to us, by your peace, by your joy. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. You respond to us by your word, and your word brings healing and brings deliverance and freedom. Father, I pray you might continue to minister to us even through the ministry of your word this morning. Father, I pray that Christ will be exalted, that Christ and Christ alone will be seen. And Father, I pray that no one would leave here without hearing from you. So, Spirit of God, we welcome you to continue your work. We thank you for the angelic beings that are here to minister to the saints. And Lord, we thank you for your spirit that speaks to us. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen. Anybody happy to be here? Yeah. Amen. As I said to you in times past, I much rather speak to happy people than to grumpy people. I mean, I've unfortunately had to speak to grumpy people in the past, in different places. And so I'm speaking from experience, not just from theory. It's much, much easier and more pleasant to speak to happy people. I want to continue the series that we have been doing on the Holy Spirit and you. We have shared about the Holy Spirit being like wind that comes and blows God's presence, God's peace, God's love, God's refreshing. We shared on the Holy Spirit being like fire that comes and consumes us, and makes us passionate and empowers us. Today I want to share on the Holy Spirit being the river of God. The river of God. And I was meditating on this and, you know, wondering why so many different pictures that God gives us of his spirit. And the reality is that no one picture really captures how God is to us and how he functions and how he moves. And many of us, we need these word pictures to remind us and to help us to not lock God into one little box, but to realize that he's much greater than whatever we understand him to be. He's greater than that. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit being then the river of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel 47. The book of Ezekiel is really one of those amazing books, as you may realize now, because in Ezekiel we read about the breath of God, the wind of God, in Ezekiel 37. It's in Ezekiel we read about the fire of God in Ezekiel chapter 1. And now in Ezekiel we are reading about the river of God in Ezekiel chapter 47. So I'm going to read the first 12 verses. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Version this morning. So verse 1 says, "Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by the way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. And he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and he led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not ford. For the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river there were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region and go down into the Araba. Then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. And it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there and others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it from Engedi to Enegliam. There will be a place for spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They'll be left for salt. And by the river on its bank, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be food and their leaves for healing. So this was a vision, this was an encounter that Ezekiel had that he recorded for us. And so one of the first things I noticed was that this river flowed from the temple. That's what it says in verse 1 and verse 12. Verse 12 it says it flows from the sanctuary. So this river flows from the very presence of God. This is no ordinary river. This is a picture of the Spirit of God that comes from the presence of God and brings about change. In a few minutes we'll read Psalm 46, which makes mention of the river of God that is there and that brings refreshing to the people of God. But here Ezekiel is saying he saw this river. And this river started out like a little trickle. That's verse 1. A little trickle. Several months ago, late one night, I went downstairs in my basement, and water was dripping through the ceiling there in my basement. And I thought, what on earth is this? So I got a container and put there because, you know, it's middle of the night. And next morning, I called my friend Eric to try and figure out where is this water coming from. It's a little trickle, but it was enough that the drywall that was making up that ceiling was swollen and the water was dripping. And so Eric tried to figure out where it was coming from. Eventually, we discovered it was coming from the hose behind my refrigerator upstairs. There was a little pinhole in the hose. Just a little pinhole, a little bit of water coming out. But that water had been coming up for some time, that it ran down through the floor, through the ceiling below, and now became a big puddle below that. Just a little pinhole. But over time, the water gathered. And so, as I was reading this, I reflected on that. that this water was coming from the temple, coming from the sanctuary, just a little trickle. In the natural, it wouldn't seem like anything significant. But you and I know that in the natural, if I didn't take care of that leak, it would destroy my roof and destroy all sort of stuff in my house. Just a little trickle, just a little pinhole. So this water from the presence of God started as a little trickle. But as Ezekiel was led, he realized the next point was that after 1,000 cubits, that the water was now ankle deep. Enough for him to be able to walk around, maybe to have fun, play around in it. And he could have stopped there. Remember, this represents the Spirit of God. And many times the Spirit of God starts as a little trickle, a little movement of God amongst God's people. In the natural, it doesn't seem like anything really too significant. But if you learn to go with the flow, you'll realize that there's much more. And you can go to the next level where it's ankle deep. And you can settle there, you can play around and have fun and rejoice in it. I mean, it's something that God is doing without realizing that God has much, much more in store for us. So, measured off another 1,000, and now it was knee deep, a little bit more. But Ezekiel was being led to see that what God was doing was much more than just a knee-deep thing. And so they measured off another 1,000, and now it was up to the waist. Now you can dip in it and do all sort of stuff, but there was much more. Measured another 1,000, and now it was up to almost his neck, where now you can't walk through it because the water is so high it's going to take you somewhere. But maybe you can swim through, but you can't walk through it anymore. And so, as I read this and meditated on it, I realized that one of the things God was saying about how he works is that we have an option how deep you want to go with God. We have an option where we want to stop and camp, or if we want to press through for the more that there is in God. You can get excited, and we should, about the anchor deep thing, but we shouldn't settle there. We should say, Lord, we know there is more. Lord, we are going for the more. And you can get excited and should when there it is close to the knee level. But saints, can I tell you that there is more in the Lord? And the Lord, just like Ezekiel was invited to go into the more, I believe the Lord invites his people to come into more of what he has. Don't despise the days of a little trickle, of small beginnings. But don't settle just for a little trickle. I've been amazed. I've seen, you know, I've been to places and I've seen things, and there's a little trickle and people already start to declare revival. And I'm like, that's just a little trickle. There's much more to come. Let's press in for the more, and I think that this is it. But there's something about this water, about this river. Verse 8. It says, then he said to me, these waters go toward the eastern region and go down into Araba, then go toward the sea, be made to flow into the sea. The waters of the sea became fresh. So this water, this river, brought this fresh water that impacted the sea, changed the way the sea tasted. This little river, by the time it's no longer little, but it impacted things all around it. Now, I have in my Bible a Bible program that I bought years ago because it was recommended by one of my professors at seminary, which allows me to see which words, Hebrew words, Greek words, are being used in different places in the scripture. This particular word here in Ezekiel for fresh, it's probably, you might have a footnote in your Bible, it's actually the word Rapha. It might sound familiar when you remember the term Jehovah Rapha. It actually means healing. In fact, the translation for fresh is only found three times in the Bible, right in Ezekiel. All the other times it's translated as healing or restoration. So really we could say that this river is a river of healing. That whatever it touches, it brings healing and change. And that excites me. It's a move of God that starts from the people of God seeking God's face in his presence and flows out. Doesn't stay in the temple, but it flows out. It brings refreshing wherever it goes. Peter had promised the people listening to him in Acts 3 that times of refreshing would come from the very presence of God as people turn and repent. That God promises like a river to bring times of refreshing. But God also wants to have this river in your life and in my life to bring refreshing and healing to every area of our lives. That God wants to flow like a river in you and in me. And every area that is too salty, every area that is hurting, every area that is wounded, that this river of God wants to come and bring healing and restoration and refreshing. This river flows, it says, to Araba. Araba is really a dry place, a barren place. And there the river flows and changes things. We were singing earlier, but my heart is an open place, open space for you to come. Well, that's where the river goes, wherever there's an open space, saying come. The river will come. Isaiah chapter 41. And I'm going to read from verse 17 through to verse 20. This is what Isaiah says. The afflicted and needy. That's Isaiah 41 verse 17. The afflicted and needy are seeking water, but there is none. Wow. Their tongue is parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them myself. As the God of Israel, I will not forsake them. How is he going to answer? Verse 18. I will open rivers on bare heights and springs in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land fountains of water. I'll put the cedar in the wilderness and the acacia and the myrtle and the olive tree. I'll place the juniper in the desert together with the box tree and the cypress, that they may see and recognize and consider and gain insight as well, that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. And so Isaiah is here saying that those who are afflicted, those who are needy, those who are parched, those who are thirsty, God has a promise to them saying that he will come like a river into the dry areas of our lives, into the dry places where people want to experience the water of God, the river of God. He promises that he himself will do it. Those who are going through some tough times and things look difficult, you are afflicted within and without. God says, if you cry to him, Lord, I'm thirsty. Lord, I need you to come to this dry area of my life. He says, he will do it. He will come like a river. You remember what Jesus said in John 7? He says, everyone who thirsts, come to me and drink. And what did he say? Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit was not yet given. So Jesus himself picked upon this theme, saying, if you are thirsty, if you're going through some dry places, if you feel as if you're barren, he's saying, cry unto me, come and drink. And I will cause rivers, not just a river, but rivers of living water to flow out of us afresh. Wherever this river goes, it produces life. Wherever it goes, things live. That's what verse 9 says. And it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. So it adds to the quality of life that those who are alive already have. And it says there will be many fish, for these waters go there and others become fresh. So everywhere, everything will live where the river goes. This is a river of life. And so when this river touches, whatever this river touches, it becomes alive. Experiences the life of God. But it also flows into the sea. And the scholars, as I was reading, believe that this sea that is being referred to here is the Dead Sea. And yet this river goes there and affects that Dead Sea and produces life. Because the Dead Sea is dead because nothing comes out of it, and therefore nothing can live in it. But here, from what Ezekiel is seeing, that even the Dead Sea is affected by the river of God. Any area in your life that is dead, if you allow the Spirit of God to touch it, it will come back to life. Circumstances, if you allow the Spirit of God to deal with it, it will breathe life. You're worried about your loved ones, just pray for the river of God to take a hold of them so that the life of God can flow in them afresh. And it's prolific in that it increases. It's not just a few fish that is there. Many fish. In other words, when the Spirit of God moves, all sorts of people come to life. All types of fish is mentioned here come to life. Some of them you might wonder. They don't look like what you expect them to look like. But God brings them in by His Spirit and transforms them and bring life. It's not just one or two fish. I remember taking a team from my church in Jamaica to Pensacola back in, 1998. And to see people line up to get inside from early in the day, and to see life being changed, being transformed by the Spirit of God, as a river of God would flow, people would be brought into the kingdom. Brings new life. So when God says He wants to flow like a river, He's talking about reaching those who are lost and cause them to experience the very life of Almighty God. Reaching into your life, into my life, and cause the dead places in our lives to come alive. Well, here's an interesting thing. Verse 11. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They'll be left for salt. And so I tried to research this. Like, what does this mean? Now the problem for the scholars is that many times the scholars don't see these things through the eyes of the Spirit. So they're saying, well, maybe the salt is left for to be part of some sacrifice. And I'm like, there's no sacrifice being mentioned anywhere here in Ezekiel 47. What on earth are you talking about? There's a contrast here between where this river of God goes and it produces life, and then some areas there that are swamps, where maybe a little fresh water getting there, but nothing changes. You see, I'm going to suggest, you can do whatever you want to do with that, but I'm going to suggest that the swamp here are the ones who stay on the sideline and criticize. The ones who stay on the sideline, they don't want to get into the river too far, but they criticize everything that they see. Oh, that couldn't be God because that one is shouting. Oh, that couldn't be God because... And everything that comes from them doesn't produce any life. There's no life in the swamp. You and I, we have a choice. You can choose to stay in the swamp, or you can jump into the river and experience the life of God. You can spend your time listening to the critics online, and all they do is trying to find fault somewhere, rather than going with the flow of God and experience the life of God. I'm telling you. If God is using anybody anywhere, trust me, some swamp people will rise up against them. Yeah. No life coming from them. Just death. Some of the swamp people are people who got a little touch sometime in the past. And now they remain stagnant. They don't want to move. They think this is how God must do it. And God says, no, I'm not limiting myself to do it the way you experience me. I'm bigger than that. I remember when I was a younger person, in our youth group, in our church, we were exposed to the things of the Spirit. Back in those days, they call it the charismatic movement. And so we went to these meetings outside of our church where we saw the power of God, we saw healings and miracles. That's where I got filled with the Spirit. And so our youth group changed, was transformed. And we had the power of God present in our youth group. But some of the older folks became concerned, because here we are as young people, we are going after God. And we decided when we had youth meeting that we didn't want to have our time wasted just playing games, having a games night. Why have a games night? Why not have a night of prayer and fasting? So they thought we were becoming too serious. And so the swamp people came in. You see? But the swamp people can't stop the life of God, because all the young people do is just move somewhere else with the life of God. And the church remained the same, because the swamp people are there on Sunday morning and they don't want the Spirit of God to do anything different. Hello. And I'm saying to you and to myself, if you want to experience the move of God, you've got to be prepared to do what seems sometimes uncomfortable and sometimes what is out of the norm. Hello. Or you can stay on the side and criticize. Something I've discovered about rivers, they take the path of least resistance. I was looking online this morning at the Missouri River. How many know the Missouri River doesn't flow in a very straight line? It starts somewhere up in Montana, comes across almost to the east, and then comes down. And what the river does is that wherever there's resistance, it just goes all around it. It just bypasses it. Hello? Yeah. Wherever there's too much control, You want to control what happened in your meeting. If you read what happened in Azusa Street, you read some of the writings. It's amazing some of the things that God did. And William Seymour, who was really, they said, the man at the head, many times he put his head in a box up front and just allowed the Spirit of God to do his thing. I remember when I was at the seminary in Springfield, one of the courses, that part of the course was called Issues Affecting Pentecostals and Charismatics. This was a Pentecostal seminary. And one of the things they discovered was that, or we discussed was that, in most of the meetings of Spirit-filled Pentecostal churches, there is no difference between those meetings and another fundamental church or foundational church that has a contemporary service. We sing the same contemporary songs. So what's the difference? And so the question was asked, why? And so these leaders, these pastors, were brought on a conviction. And the conviction was that they felt that they needed to be in control. They couldn't afford for there to be a minute or so where nothing happened. And so because of their effort to be in control, they prevented the Spirit of God from moving amongst God's people as God wanted to. Because God will not allow us to control Him. We have got to learn to go with the flow. Hello. In your own life, when the Spirit of God starts to deal with you, if you don't yield and say, yes, Lord, deal with me here, He's not going to necessarily force you. He's just going to go around it. He's not going to abandon you, but that thing is going to stay there in your life because you don't yield it to the Spirit of God. See? So the river is going to find the path of least resistance. James puts it this way: God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Those who are afflicted, those who are needy, those who are like, Lord, I need you. And will cry to the Lord and humble themselves. That's where the river is going to flow. The Pentecostal revival that started at Azusa Street started amongst a poorer set of people because they were the ones who were hungry enough and humble enough to cry out to the Lord and make themselves humble. And that's where the Spirit of God came. The river of God takes a path of least resistance where there's no control or stubbornness. This is how God must move. This is how God must do it. Isaiah chapter 33. Read a scripture here. And verse 20. Isaiah 33 verse 20 says, look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feasts. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, an undisturbed habitation. A tent shall not be folded. Its stakes shall never be pulled up, nor any of its cords be torn apart. But there the majestic one, the Lord, shall be for us a place of rivers and wide canals, on which no boat with oars shall go, on which no mighty ship shall pass. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, He will save us. And what Isaiah is here saying is that this place of river, this wide canal that God wants to have by His Spirit, in that place, if you want to be a part of it, get rid of your oars, get rid of your own efforts. You can be in the boat, but the boat has got to go where the river is going. You got to go with the flow. Hello. So no big ship with their own rudder and an engine know that you can't come on this river. This river is for those who will go with the flow. Say, Lord, whatever you want to do, do in me. Lord, whatever you want to do in this place, do it. We're going to go with the flow. It's uncomfortable. Those of you who are used to your kayaks or whatever, you know it can be uncomfortable to just go where the river is going. But that's what God wants, our faith and trust in Him, to take us where He wants to take us. Hello? Do you really want to go where the river is going? Or do you want to go to the side and look on? Do you want to be part of the swamp? I said, that's why that happened, because they went with the flow. And not look at the fruit, the lives that have been transformed. Many people have sat on the side and criticized the people in Toronto, and they didn't look on the fruit of what has come from that outreach, from that revival. Lots of lives have been changed. Millions of people all across the globe have been saved. Many of the underground churches in China came out of people crying for God to do something in China out of that revival. Or you can sit on the side and criticize, or you can try and do it your own way with your own little boat. Hello? We got to learn to go where the river is going. I put here, the river increases in fruitfulness. Verse 12 says that, by the river and on its bank, on one side and on the other side, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Different type of fruit, and the leaves of this tree heals the nation of the trees, the leaves. It's a picture of that tree of life. The same picture is again shared by John in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 22. Let me just share one more scripture from Psalm 46 for us, a psalm that many of you know. Psalm 46, verse 1, the writer says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. So all sort of stuff is happening all around. Crazy things. And in the middle of this is what the psalmist says. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations make an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come and behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And so here the psalmist paints a picture of all sort of stuff happening around us. And then he says, but there is a river. There is a stream that brings rejoicing, that brings happiness. And that river is found in the holy dwelling place of the Most High. That causes God's people to be able to stand even all sort of stuff happening around them. The nations are in an uproar, war in Ukraine, all sort of things happening. But the people of God can stand firm, experiencing the joy of the Lord because of the river of Almighty God. They might be in a panic about the, you know, inflation, all sort of stuff, but we can be in the presence of God drinking from that river, drinking life. So this river produces joy and gladness. This river causes us to have faith in the midst of circumstances that seem hopeless, because you're drinking from the river of Almighty God. This river causes us to remain steadfast, not tossed to and fro by what's happening around us, because you're drinking from the river of Almighty God. You're experiencing God in your midst. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. You know, in the midst of the Azusa Street Revival, all sort of stuff was happening. All sort of issues. There was racism left, right, and center. But it didn't stop the move of God. It didn't stop the people of God from seeking the very face of God and experiencing a move of God that has transformed the landscape of Christianity. Transformed it completely. As there were some people who decided to go with the flow of the river of God. Some people who saw themselves as being afflicted and needy and cried and said, Lord, river of God, flow down on me. River of God, this area of my life is barren. River of God, I'm thirsty. I need more of you, Lord. River of God, we need more of you, mighty God. Come flow in our midst. Lord, it may be a trickle. Lord, we're not going to settle for that. But Lord, we're going to press through until we reach a level, oh God, where we can't even control ourselves. We're just going to go with the flow. We're just going to abandon ourselves to the Spirit of God. And let the swamp people criticize. We are experiencing the healing of God in our lives. We're experiencing the freshness of God in our walk. Oh, we need the river of God. We need more than just a little bit to dance around in on the ankle level or the knee level. Lord, we need it all the way up, mighty God. Lord, no boats with oars are going to go there. Lord, we're just going to allow you to take us where you want to take us. We're going to allow you to do whatever in our lives that you want to do, mighty God. Lord, we are not going to resist. But we are going to say, come have your own way. Do your own thing in us, river of God. And cause there to be fruitfulness from our lives. Let us stand. This morning, I'm just going to open up these altars. And if you are saying, Lord, I'm thirsty. Lord, I want your river to flow afresh in me. I'll invite you, if you want to come and be at these altars. You don't have to, but I'll invite you. If you're saying, Lord, I want more. Lord, I see a little trickle. Yes, Lord, I see a little bit around my ankle, but Lord, I want more. Lord, I don't just want to have it ankle deep. I don't just want to have it knee deep. Lord, I want all that you have for me in the name of Jesus. Then come and cry out at these altars. Come and say, Lord, me too. Don't bypass me. Lord, don't go around me. Lord, I'm not a place of resistance. Lord, I'm a flat place. Lord, come flow, river of God.
Under the rock where mercy reigns, here at shadow of shadows, I see your way. I believe what you say, that you're not done with me. I know you always make a way. I know you always stay the same. I believe what you say, that you're not done with me. Though my hands may fail, though my heart may stray, your promises remain. So I come to you, 'cause Lord, my cup needs filling. Lord, my cup needs filling. Fill me with your Spirit to overflow. Lord, my cup needs filling. Lord, my cup needs filling. Fill me with your Spirit to overflow. I don't want to move until you move. I don't want to speak until you do. I rid myself of all but you. You're not done with me. Though my hands may fail, though my heart may stray, your promises remain. Lord, my cup needs filling. Lord, my cup needs filling. Fill me with your Spirit. Lord, my cup needs filling. Fill me with your Spirit. Oh, Lord, my cup needs filling. Lord, my cup needs filling. Fill me with your Spirit. Oh, Lord, my cup needs filling. Lord, my cup needs filling. Fill me with your Spirit. Oh, Lord, my cup needs filling. Lord, my cup needs filling. Fill me with your Spirit. Oh, Lord, my cup needs filling. Lord, my cup needs filling. Spirit to overflow. Lord, my cup needs filling. Lord, my cup needs filling. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord, to overflow. To overflow.
Out connected like it's connected in my head. Earlier when you started preaching, you talked about how disease and sickness can get stuck in our body if we don't let it out. And then you started talking about the river And where I'm from in California, it's by the Sierra Nevadas, and we would camp by the Stanislaus River. And the Stanislaus River is different than the rivers here because there's mountains where it comes from. There's not mountains here, so the river flows smoothly, and not in all the places, but in the Stanislaus, you can literally be overtaken by the river, and it all starts from a mountain and it flows down. So when we get to the top of the mountain, we can flow down. You can stand on the side, but there's going to be waterfalls and crashes, and you're going to plunge into a pool, and you might get scraped up, but the least, when you have less resistance, the more you're going to flow with the river. And the other thing about the rivers is every river leads to an ocean. And I've shared before how that song, the song Oceans, how it said, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. That's a pretty bold request of God. And so that's kind of how we're in Missouri. We just asked God to take us where our feet could ever never wander. And that's a scary place, but if you get in the center of the ocean, which my favorite place is to swim in the ocean, which I know is crazy, but it reminds me how small I am. But when you go with the waves, you have least resistance and you can be carried in the ocean. And then the other thing that I was thinking just as I was praying is in the work that I do, there's something that happens that's called myofascial release. And when someone is completely yielded to what's happening in that room where I'm praying for healing, literally, and this is how it goes full circle, is years and years and years of chronic pain can let go and unwind if their body is willing to trust and let go and do these really strange, weird motions that feel uncomfortable and seem strange. But if they feel that they're in a safe place with me, literally decades and decades of chronic pain can unwind and let go and be healed in one moment of time. But it all comes to yielding to the Spirit of God.
As we were praying here and singing, my mind went back to the passage in Ezekiel that talks about the dry bones. And the Lord was showing Ezekiel this valley of dry bones. And it makes me think of the water, you know. It's, the water is not dry. And it just... What the Lord told Ezekiel was to prophesy to the bones to live. And I just, if it's okay with you, can I just kind of prophesy what he said? It says in Ezekiel 36, is it? It just says, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. God will cause breath. And I'm speaking this over our church. I'm speaking this over the United States. God will cause breath to enter, and you shall live. God will put sinews on you, bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and you shall live, and you shall know that the Lord is God. And then it says, it talks about the prophesy to the wind, and it says, a wind come from the four winds come. Speak to the four winds. Come from the four winds. I can't remember at night now. What was come from the four corners of the earth? And anyway, but the wind of the Lord is going to bring the life, and that's the essence of it, I think. But I just prophesy that over the United States. The wind of the Lord will come. And as we prophesy, Lord, as we prophesy to our own flesh, oh, I just say to my flesh, I say, come alive. Come from the four winds, O breath. Breathe on these slain. That's what it says. Breathe on us, O Spirit of God. Breathe on us that we would live, that we would come forth with your life in us, that we would get into the river, Lord. I feel so like it's so hard to move right now for some reason spiritually. And I need the breath of the Lord. I just need the breath of the Lord. I pray for all of us that we would, that the breath of the Lord would breathe on us. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Come, Holy Spirit, flow. Come, help us get in the river, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me pray for all of us that the dry places in our lives, that the river of God would flow and bring life. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you, God, that every situation, you are the answer. And so, Lord, for many of us, there are areas in our lives that feel dry. And we ask the river of God to come and flow in those areas and bring new life. And Lord, where there is resistance in our hearts, Father, we yield this moment to you. We yield every era of our lives afresh to you. And we say, river of God, flow. River of God, come and bring healing. Bring healing to every era of our lives that need to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, even the circumstances outside of us that pertain to different situations, Lord, we ask that your river might come and also bring healing in those situations. So river of God, we thank you. We thank you, Spirit of God, for coming to us like the wind, for coming to us like the river, for coming to us like fire, for coming to us like oil. We give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name.
I just want to put a reminder out there. There's at least 3 times in the week that this church is open up for prayer, and there are people coming to pray. At 9:40 on Sunday mornings, prior to the meeting, in the upper room, a group of us are meeting to pray. At 5:30 on Sunday evening here, and on Friday at 9:00. So, I am not trying to guilt anybody into this, but if you really know that there's a need for the river to flow in more and more power and more depth, let's seek the Lord together.
Amen. So we're going to close. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his supernatural peace. Amen.